Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, it's me, it's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of butterbing sensation of innovation, and the leader of the Republic Nation, Mike. And with me today is a man whose sexual preference is so heterosexual that Hugh Jackman himself blushes at the sight of him, a man who's glorious, and a man who will not give in until he's victorious. It's Gary. What's going on, Gary?
Oh, not much. That was one of the more interesting openings. Very good.
You know, when when you have all of 90 seconds to write them, you come in, you type what comes into your mind, and for some reason, your heterosexuality and comparing you to Hugh Jackman just felt like the right thing to do today, Gary. Here in the ABL, we are just one or two days away, depending.
I am just not sure why, and you know, you're on the West Coast. It's 9:30 in the morning there. I don't know why you're thinking about my sexuality at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, mind you, I'm kind of lying because I didn't just wake up, but I could have went in. Hey, just got out of a dream.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going in a completely different direction there. Holy shit.
Well, that's what you get on Poddammit, absolute randomness at time. But, Gary, we are on the last day of April. We are heading into May. We can take a look at the standings. We can take a look at the teams who have been underperforming versus overperforming, some of the statistical leaders. Some fun stuff today, Gary. Nothing too overly planned today. I did
we
want
don't
to touch
plan
on
anything
something,
anyway.
Well, the days – I, you know what? When me and Gary first started doing these, Gary's like, are we going to do this and we're going to do that? I said, Gary, I fucking love you and I appreciate you, but good luck reeling me in. And you know what I mean? Like, if we have topics – we can go in outlines now and kind of go in the general vicinity. Like, Gary and I are pretty well-versed in ABL for the most part, so we don't need to exactly look up everything. We kind of know where we're going and stuff. But I told Gary, I was like, yeah, that ain't going to work for me, man. I mean, we can try
yeah,
it,
no.
But it's just not going to work for me. And that's not – I mean, hey, that's what makes me me. But I'm just saying.
We used to come in with agendas and we'd be like topics. All right, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. We usually have four, five, six different things. And then all of a sudden it was all right, we're only hitting two or three of them. You know what? It's not even worth the time putting in to write the agenda or to go over.
It's hard,
unless there's
it's hard in
45 there.
Minutes. It's hard to do just in 45 minutes because I think you and I both like to get in to get six
topics
in 45 minutes.
45 minutes? There's only so much
no,
you can
I was talking
in 15 minutes per topic. So
true. So
we go off the rails quite often. So and here's
not
the
just
kicker.
Me,
I don't
way.
Do any. I don't do. Oh no, it's not just you. It's me as well. But I don't do any prep work really. I'm doing this on the fly. I have a kind of general
Wait.
Idea of what I see. And
we're
and
supposed
I
to prep.
I can prep. What's that? Yeah, it's preparation age.
What's that? Yeah.
Go look it up. You can Google that.
Dad joke. Yeah, dad joke. Anyways, Gary, I did have one thing I had marked down on my sheet that I wanted to talk about really quick, and it doesn't have to be a long topic. It's probably going to be a short topic.
Wait a minute. That's an oxymoron. That you're going to talk about something real quick. Those two things don't happen.
I'm actually going to make a statement really quick, and I'm going to feed it to you to answer really quick.
That was good.
Oh, see,
ladies and gentlemen,
you know
that
what?
Was root beer burp.
Dude, you know what's awesome? On this awesome mic, I have a button that says mute. I have a mute button, and I pushed it twice, I guess, on accident, and I looked at it, and it was still flashing. I'm like, oh, fucking never mind. Anyways, I wanted to take a minute, Gary. I haven't wrote the obituary yet, but it's 2029.
Okay.
And it is time to say thank you for playing the original OG team, the Montreal Bandits, the Columbus Aces now, formerly the Columbus Codebreakers. They lost Hayagawa in the beginning of the season. They lost Palma and Gallegos, last them pretty much for the season. They just traded Gould. I believe it is time for the first time ever in April where I can officially say the Columbus Aces / Montreal Bandits will not be in the Adult Baseball League playoffs this season.
That sounds pretty much right. Have they missed the playoffs before, looking back? They've missed the playoffs three times in their history. They missed in their – the last time was back-to-back years, 2026, 2025. Both years finished under 500. In 2026, 77 and 85. In 2025, they went 79 and 83. Before that was 2016, where they went 74 and 88. They finished first or second every year but 2016 from – the inaugural 2012 year to 2024. So a span of 12 years, they've finished first 10 times, second once, fourth once. And then since then, they've been a stumbling. Second place, fifth place, second place, third place, fourth place. So they're not they made the playoffs twice in the last 5 years, including this one.
Now,
twice in the last four.
I'm looking into the left of my screen, and I have a crystal mirror right here, okay? Now, is this something...
Crystal
map? Again, we're here at Pod... Here at Pod, damn it, we like to try to tie things together, and you can tell me if I am off board here or not. Do you think what has happened to Columbus the last handful of years is what is about to set in for Kansas City? Because I like to compare the two, not because Christian and Irvin are both pretty solid, very good GMs, but both have kept with their core team for a very, very long time. And really, while Christian traded more than Irvin has, both pretty much had a lot of the same teams they had on their, you know, brought players on the same team. I mean, am I being too harsh comparing Kansas City to Columbus? I mean, Columbus isn't in a very strong division. So saying he's out of the playoff race at this point is pretty, you know what I mean? It's pretty pretty indicative of where his team is right
pretty
now.
Pretty bold.
I think.
Yeah. It is I don't fault either team for doing what they're doing and where they are. It's one of those things where, you know what, you got to run, you make the run. You know what, good
Irvin,
things
Irvin,
happen. Imagine,
yeah.
You got to be at the dance to go and maybe be prom king or prom queen. So if you're not there, you know, it doesn't really matter. They're there. They're participating. So in that respect – you know what? Kansas City's got two trophies. You know, they won the big prize. They've won the big prize because they were there. Montreal's won it three times. Why? Because they were there. Like, it's, you know, it's the old Michael Jordan quote, you know, the inspirational quote. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. They took a shot.
Right.
And that was why I had a problem last year when – There was one person who, you know, said they should have sold off, meaning Columbus. You know what? You work hard to get to the playoffs. You know what? Once you get there, anything can happen.
Was that
so
me?
I no. If I wanted to name you, I have no problem naming you.
No,
so
I wasn't.
The person's
never mind.
Not here, so I don't have to name them. It doesn't matter.
Okay,
who
I'm with
said
you.
It is not, who said it is not the issue? It doesn't really matter. It's just a philosophy.
Doesn't matter,
it
doesn't matter
just
if
because,
Davis can't keep his
just because,
shot or not.
Just because it shouldn't be whether you make the playoffs or not, or versus winning the playoffs or not. You know what? You need to get there. So that's my thing.
And Columbus is in an interesting spot the last few years for those of you who are newer to the league. Columbus, you know, a lot of teams build 1 through 26. Some teams build top heavy. They were certainly top heavy. Now, a little, you know, historical information. They've had quite a – and it's funny that the new GM named them the Aces with any – I mean, without really a lot of knowledge of the franchise's, you know, general history. Obviously, for 17 seasons now, so it would be hard for a new person to at that point. But, you know, he had Hayagawa and he had Gallegos, two of the top five pitchers in the game, listed as two of the top five or six pitchers for the past, you know, seven, eight seasons. He had Gould, who always got hurt. He had Sato. He had a solid bullpen. And then he had McGowan and a couple other hitters around him. And he had a park that really played to his pitching strengths and to his hitting strengths. So Columbus, and you can confirm this for me, he's been the team before Havana's rise. For years, I said, I do not want to fucking play him. Because you get in a 7-game series, you face Hayasagawa and Gallego 6 times, and you're out of the fucking playoffs, potentially. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a fun series to play in. That's a – if we talk about the playoffs –
time goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You got three starters taking up – you've got three starters taking up 6 or 7 of potential 7 games. You know,
right.
nobody's a lock for anything. You know,
right.
it's
number
one thing where
right.
you're matching up with Johnson and Hardy. All right, so that's 3 games. Both of you got to go
right.
through 3. And that's why the third game in that series last year was so important. The winner of that game ends up taking a 2-1 lead. And then the winner of that game, the loser of that game has to go through the other ace 2 more times to win the series. The other side, the winner of that game doesn't have to win another game against those pitchers, against Hardy or Johnson, because he's got other things. It the third game in that series is the most important.
Tanner Johnson ended up coming back and shitting the bed anyways in early game 6, but I would have made that every single day. I would have done that every single day of the week. It just didn't work out for me this time.
It is what it is. You know what? It's not even the big story of the season. You know, the Columbus supposed meltdown. I think the big thing is the start by Quebec. So
yes,
let's spend a little time there. And before we do that, before we go there, I just want to go over the contest again. It's been on Slack, and this here
we will give it
the
to
contest.
You here.
We'll give it to you here as well. It's also on the dugout. But here it is here. The Quebec Armada opened the 2029 season with 8 straight wins. Which teams have had a start, team or teams, could be multiple, have had a start of seasons with at least 8 straight wins? Now, I need the team. I need the year it happened. You can email me privately, gtaltman@gmail.com to enter. The prizes I just had announced yesterday because I just got them in. Anybody who gets it right will get to create a player for the free agent pool next season using 90 points of the player creation method that we use. You can name somebody after your son, your daughter, your ex-wife, whatever floats your boat. But you get to name a player, and not only that, you get the bid on him because he's a free agent, and you might end up having your ex-wife on your team. What could possibly be better than that?
I would bench her ass if I had an ex-wife. Anyway.
Well, anyway, moving on. So, anyway, with that segue into that contest, how about that Quebec team? Nobody saw that coming.
Quebec has been piling assets and making moves for a few years now, but I'm honestly a little surprised he's sitting at 12-5. He's not at
what?
I don't know.
At what? You
I'm
said
surprised,
12 and
I'm
5.
Sorry. I said 22-5. I apologize. Yeah, sorry. I'm a little surprised he's sitting at 22-5. He doesn't, according to my scout, have really a very good starting staff in terms of potential, but they're all pitching fantastic. First in the league in starters ERA, first in bullpen, first in runs against, second in efficiency. You know, he's playing small ball here and pitching really well, if you will, and small ball being he's not, top 5 yet in runs scored either, but he's been pitching very well, you know what I mean? Like, when you call up a prospect, Phil LaFontaine, I believe his name was, that I remember getting called up. He's a first baseman I had inquired about before. When you bring up some new fresh blood like that, and when you have guys finally, Henderson just getting back into the lineup, who's his best player. He has Fukuda from last year, who I believe was in South Carolina at some point, wasn't he? Maybe not. I believe
Boozler,
Fukuda was
yes
in your team.
Was. Boozler,
no,
yes he was.
Fukuda.
Oh, Fukuda,
no,
yes
Trigger.
He was. Yes.
So, he has him, and then he has, I believe, he has a couple of younger kids, including Reyes, who's one of my favorite young players in the league, a really good defensive shortstop. He has a lot of pieces. I don't want to say I don't see him making the playoffs because I feel like that's a dick move, but I don't see him making the playoffs. I really don't. I mean, 22-5 is a hell of a have to, an overclimb. I just think Portland, Eureka, Georgia are just way better. They're 4-6. Mile High,
yeah,
and Kansas City are 2-3.
I'm not sure. The last
Quebec
three seasons, Quebec makes the playoffs. I think they do.
Interesting. Okay, I don't think they do. Okay.
I think they do. Here's why. Last year they were 76-86, and now 22-5. The start they were off to was unprecedented. But when you take a look at their expected record of 18-9, they're just four games above where they should be. The odd team out that I see now is Portland. Portland's 14.5 games behind Quebec. Now, part of that could be just looking at this, but I'm going to now spin back to the last 2 years. The last 2 years we had Cabo in my division, and then last season we had Jersey in my division, and both teams got off to a great, great start. And they were both in the playoff hunt well into August, and then they faded. I think Quebec at this point, if they just tread water the rest of the way, they're going to be there. They are on pace right now. If they play 500 the rest of the year, they are 17. They're 17 games, so that's eight. They're on an 89-win pace if they play 500 the rest of the year. 89 wins in that division might get them a playoff spot. So
you're right.
And you look at that. So who do we bounce? Mile High, I think, is playing over the head, but they were there 2 years ago, but not last year. Kansas City, you can make the arguments playing over their head because their offense is always been strong historically, but better than any other team historically in this league. That I don't see them carrying out the rest of the way. So their offense has carried them to seven back and a half a game out of the second spot. Do they fall? Well, Georgia, I thought, is a better team. They're a game and a half behind Mile High, a game behind Kansas City. They'll be there. Eureka, 8.5 back of Quebec, but two games back of Mile High. You got four teams within two games for those last two spots. And we haven't talked about Portland. And Portland's 12 under 500. So before we talk about Portland making the playoffs, we got to find a way for them to get 12 games back just to get to 500, and then we can talk about maybe them making the playoffs.
I'm just not ready to bounce out any of those three teams yet. Maybe Quebec does make it, but I don't know. You're probably right, Portland being the odd man out, just because while Eureka has surged, he hasn't the last sim. But I mean, he's a very talented team, so I don't know. We'll see, man.
Absolutely.
Quebec hasn't done it in 10 years. I'm the show me team.
Portland, that's great. They're showing you. They're 22-5 playing 800 ball. So far, Portland has went 1-3 against Kansas City, 0-3 against South Carolina, 1-3 against Georgia, 1-2 against Columbus, 1-2 against Cabo, 1-2 against Eureka, 1-2 against San Francisco, 1-2 against Maple. He's not beating teams that are better than him, but he hasn't seen any of the weaker teams either. His May schedule, just to put this on the board, sees 4 against OKC, 3 against Brooklyn. Here's the big one, 4 against Quebec. He needs a couple of those games there, but he needs 3 of them. You know, just to narrow the gap, he's got 3 against Minnesota, 4 against Mile High, 3 against New York, 4 against Eureka, 3 against Cabo, 3 against Bloomington. He doesn't have an easy schedule when you see where he is. So Portland, put a fork in him, pass the salt. He's done.
You're ready to say he's done. You're saying he's done?
I'm ready to say
April 3rd, April 20th. Intro. Okay, that's fine.
Listen, we could put him with Columbus, so let's throw him into the mix.
Wow, I mean, I know you hate Ackley, but geez, man.
No, Ackley.
Okay, well,
Ackley
anyway.
Sucks cock.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And for anybody, here's a movie line for you. Hey, Dunlop, you suck cock. Dunlop says, all I can get. Name the movie.
Gary
we'll
will
find
give
something
you...
to give you. We'll find some kind of trivia contest to give you. So
don't say it out loud, right?
I'm sure. I am 100% positive you do not know the movie.
You're thinking that I do not know the movie. That's what you're saying.
Correct.
Have I not told you?
It's because you figured out and Googled it.
Okay, first of all, okay, we'll have this conversation offline, but for the record, I have told you more than once that I am a movie aficionado, okay?
Okay, then name the movie.
Just for the record.
Name the movie.
It's fucking right now?
Yeah, right now. Name the movie.
It's fucking Slapshot. I fucking know that movie. Come on.
Very good.
It's a fucking sports movie, dude. It's a fucking sports movie, Gary. Come on.
It was in 75. It was barely in color. It was 20 years before you were born. Please. My God. To think that you would have seen that movie? Are you kidding me?
Here's the thing. I was very fortunate to grow up with an uncle who was absolutely in love with film. He was very, very big about renting movies. I mean, and on top of that, my first job was at Hollywood Video, for those of you kids out there. So we saw a lot of movies. Anyways, moving on, because quite frankly, let's talk about the ABL here, Gary.
Lawrence just chimed in. Must have Googled it. Yeah, you must have.
What
else? Listen, you live in South California, SoCal. Your exposure to hockey is the Los Angeles Kings. Fucking please.
Okay. Well, it is a comedic movie.
Let's test you now. There was another hockey movie. There was another hockey movie. Okay. And this one was with, I can't tell you who it was with because you'll Google it, but there's two of the main characters in there. One is now dead and he's very well known. He was in several movies. Okay. The other one is now on.
He's now dead?
One actor is now dead. It was a 1980s hockey movie. There was two guys.
Young boy with Patrick Swayze.
Which one was Patrick Swayze? Keep going. Come on, give it to me.
Maybe I'm wrong. Never mind.
No, You got the actor right.
I don't know the name, but I know Patrick Swayze was in a hockey movie.
Go ahead. Who else was in it? Give me the other actor. He's now in another television series, and he was in a very, very popular television series. Had popular meaning over 200 episodes.
Okay. Is it on Netflix?
That series? Yes, it is on Netflix, as a matter of fact. It was West Wing. I'll even give you it, even though that's enough for you. Like I said.
I'm very good at the 7 degrees to Kevin Bacon. Like I said, I was kind of a nerdy kid for like my middle school years. I watched a lot of fucking movies, bro. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I mean, I've watched far too many fucking movies in my life. Now I'm gonna Google this trailer. If I can find this trailer. And I'm gonna post it to the chat group. Okay.
There you go.
This was, by the way, this was ABL Podcast where we talk about fake baseball players, in case any of you were wondering. That should be our tagline for the show. Now that we've rolled out Columbus and Portland, let's go ahead and get to your division, where for some reason I'm looking at the top of the standings, and at the end of April, no matter what happens, South Carolina will be leading the Billy Martin division by percentage points. How did we get there, Gary?
We got off to a great start, and we normally don't get off to a great start. Just everything has come together, and it's I'm cautiously optimistic it stays there. I got a great deal on Lewis Galindo. Eureka put him on waivers. And I was talking with somebody else in the league about this, and it was like, why was he available in waivers? I think there's a couple different things here. One is that his potential is 2 stars. Second is that he's 31 plus. So he's in that age and nobody wants. The next thing
you
is
mean
he's
the
under a player
for,
option.
For value.
He's got a player option for next year. His spring training numbers weren't great. So, Eureka probably had somebody coming up. I haven't looked. And he probably thought he couldn't get a deal on him, that nobody would want him. So I think all of those things together added up to putting him on waivers, and whatever happens, happens. And I was happy to get him. Now, also with Galindo, the guy has an injury history off the charts. He's like in Ollie North, Yama, you know, he takes a summer off every year. So he's good for an 8-week injury.
But when he's in, he's very good. He's very good when he's in there.
Yeah, 3.3 WAR last year.
Here's a trivia question too. No, never mind. It's too easy of a trivia question. They just go look on the player history. He was actually obtained for the services of Anthony Atkinson, which is another famed ABL player. Did I do this? Okay. Anyways, South Carolina obviously got a quick start. Maple, you were actually discussing, and Jersey, by the way, for the second year in a row, even though he faded last year, has gotten off to a pretty good start. So I'm wondering if Jersey last year was just kind of like unfortunately was unable
to.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's
a sign
of things
to come.
And yeah, when you get off to two good starts 2 years in a row, you take notice.
Still pitching that starting pitcher he got in IFA too, who's absolutely been fucking brutal so far. But
I don't know. Did Havana bring up his guy? The guy he picked up, or did he send him to AAA?
Check really quick. Are you going to go for a Santiago? I would assume he's in the rotation.
Santiago's in the rotation, 2-1 with a 4.18 ERA in 5 games and starts. 32 innings. He's pitching to a whip of 121, an ERA plus of 104, as I'm starting now to use that bullshit sabermetrics nonsense.
It's a
124. Yeah, 124 in his fifth minus, so he needs a little work. But the guy there in Havana is Mashuanis. Saeed.
Yes, he's having a very nice
Saeed
he's
Mashuanis.
Having a very solid start. So.
Yes,
he's having a very solid start, yeah.
His worst start was 7 2/3 innings, giving up 2 earned runs. I mean, yeah, the guy blows.
Hey, man. When you play a fantastic
game, he didn't even get a loss in that game. That one he got to Chicago, where his offense didn't score anything. He only went 6 innings and 70 pitches, and that must have been a rain delay. As I'm checking the box score now, no rain delay. For some reason, he only went. That's weird. The box scores don't match up on this game. That's pretty cool.
Does it match up?
Do it again. No, it doesn't. If you go and click on the and actually, he got player of the game in that one. Well, at least it doesn't match up on my desktop. On April 20th against Chicago, they lost. Havana lost 4-1. Mashuanis went 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run earned. It was a homer. 8 strikeouts, no walks, only 70 pitches. And when I click on the result and the box score, it brings me to an Omaha versus SoCal game. So for some reason on my desktop, it's not matching up. Let's see what happens on the laptop. And by the way, we got 15 minutes left on this show. I'm sorry, say about 15 minutes that you're going to hear live. And then we go into the 15-minute overtime nonsense, just so you know.
But you will not hear 5.
Right, we got 15. Yeah, so okay, there it is on the desktop, on the laptop. It works fine. And Mashuanis was injured in that game. Let's see what kind of injury he had. Let's see, forearm stiffness. He was out for 4 days, and he ended up getting an extra day off. Pitch against Seattle, 8 innings, 5 hits, no earned. And I worry about forearms because in real life, forearms end up meaning Tommy John surgery. And I think I had Larangiera have that, and I ended up giving him an extra. I just skipped this start and went to gave him 10 days off instead of the normal 5. So, what else do we got? Let's see. Then we got the elephant in the room. What's going on in Duke City? How come they are rumbling, stumbling? Because that to me, outside of Portland, is probably the biggest
story.
Not disappointment. Yeah, the biggest story about what's going on this year. Not even Columbus. They got some age behind them. Columbus, you can see. Portland, they were there last year, but
Duke City has some age behind them as well.
Yeah, and again, you can't talk about playoffs until you get to 500. He's 7 under. So he's got to win 7 just to get to 500, and then he's still another, you know, 2 games behind that.
Let's look at his schedule really quick. So he swept San Diego, so he swept 3 teams in the game. So he's 3-1 at this point against the division. He lost 2 out of 3 versus Savannah. That should be expected. He could have taken 2 or 3, but, you know, as long as you get a game out of Havana, you're fine. Now, he went 1-3 versus Vegas as well.
That's a series inside of your own division against the team that you're fighting for a playoff spot. So, and that was a team that finished, I think, tied with him last year. Tied or game up, game down, whatever it was. But that's a team he's comparable to. And he went 1-4.
Correct.
And four
now, also, the 1-2 versus Bloomington is that's a bad loss for the series. Dallas, he got swept by Dallas. A pair of 2-run games, a 1-run game, and a 4-run game. So that one hurts.
Yeah, and he scored 15 runs in those 4 games, which is 3.5 runs a game. That's not good.
He got swept by Seattle, who is also comparable. Then he went on to beat Manhattan Beach, who I still think could probably sneak into the playoffs in that division. But Manhattan Beach is struggling also.
Going back with Seattle, he was 12 games behind him last year. What has Seattle done to improve over last year? Have they done anything?
Seattle was injured last year. Yes, they have. Let me go back to it. I remember we were talking to Matt about it. I'm sorry?
He looks like he's injured this year, too. Lee Jones, Harold Payne, Fernando Ruiz, Kirk Redman.
He has a big injury in Jones. The rest, I would say, are more role players, but Jones is a pretty sizable one. Mm-hmm. You know, Seattle was hurt last year. I think their pitching is pitching a little bit above board right now, given the ratings and the historical prowess of that rotation. Mm-hmm. But they're all – he has a lot of younger kids who could –
His offense is going to come back a little bit. Probably not the number one offense on that side. Or maybe not even a top 3 offense.
He has Young and Murphy, though. Those two are rock-solid ABO players. And he also has the young kid, Cecina, or whatever, that he got a couple years back. He's solid, doesn't hit for average, but he's a big power guy, if I recall, or potentially at least. Let me get to his page. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he'll be fine. He'll finish top five, top 6 in offense, I think, and he'll probably finish around middle of the pack in pitching. He lost his closer.
If he does that, he's going to be a playoff team.
He should have been a playoff last year, but circumstances beyond our control.
He was 12 games out last year, so you would have, could have, should have.
Same thing, Jersey. I mean.
Oh wait.
I don't know.
Seattle finished 4th. 34 games back, and they were under 500. So, I don't know if they should have made the playoffs, but they were a significant amount behind Duke last year in 4th place.
They were.
Right. And comes back. Duke sweeps Manhattan Beach,
It is a big sweep. Even though Manhattan Beach only has 8 wins right now, Manhattan Beach is a good fucking team. They're struggling out the gate, but Manhattan Beach is a good team. Don't be fooled by the 8-18 record. Out of all the teams in last place, they're the team that has the best shot to make the playoffs easily, in my opinion.
They are the best. They might be the best last place team, other than Duke. No, they're the best last place team.
You think Duke's better than they are?
Manhattan Beach might be better there. They might be the better last place team. Doesn't mean that they're the better team. They're just a better last place team because you get a guy. Maybe not. I don't know. You know what? That can go either way. I was going to mention Bravo, but then you got Allen and Ruiz. So, yeah, maybe not.
Bravo, Mendoza, Hatch, Allen, Ruiz, and Thompson. I mean, both have okay batters, not great. But both have started fucking slow as shit. I mean, both teams have got out of the gate.
Listen,
slow.
It's a category you don't really want to be in. You know, I hate being the best last place team.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though, that William division, if you will. I think there's more of a room for where is that coming from? Obviously my house.
That's your dog.
William division.
Pittman or
I know,
Ken.
But I don't know where they're at. No, no, no. It's not Pittman. I told you it's Ramsey and Pittman. Come on.
Okay.
I accidentally named my I had two dogs, obviously. Hilariously named the white dog, Pittman, who's white in the video game, and named the chocolate lab, Ramsey, who's African American in the game, which is fantastic considering that's unintended racism, and I'm all a fan. I'm a fan of unintended racism. I really am.
And getting back to Duke, and then they go 1-2 against Columbus.
Well, Duke, I mean, why are we talking about Duke? Just because he's fallen from where he thinks he should
because
be? I mean, do you think Duke is
in last place? It's, I think one of the biggest. I think it's one of the bigger stories on the quote unquote negative side.
Right.
As a surprise, because I didn't expect them to be in last. I didn't expect Portland to be in sixth place, 12 under. Manhattan Beach at 8-18, you can make the case there. Columbus Aces, it was only a matter of time before they fell off. On the plus side, Quebec is off to a phenomenal start. Havana picked up right where they left off. South Carolina having their best month in franchise history. I think those are all positive stories. Everything else I'm looking at, Kansas City, they could be on a record-setting pace. I mean, 313 is the TML record for average in a season, and right now he's at 330. I mean, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
You know, his runs scored are 35 runs scored more than Maple. And Maple arguably has the best offense on the TML side. And he's plus 35 over Maple. I mean, that again, is crazy. So, Kansas City's a very good story and something I don't think anybody expected. And here, this one's the wild one. Kansas City's fifth in home runs. And they're not a home run hitting team by any stretch.
Well, not anymore. Right.
Well, can't say not anymore.
I mean, Cruz is gone. Cruz used to be a big part of that lineup, and he used to bomb for days. I mean, he's had a few guys over the years,
right.
And I think that's what he's doing with Weber, trying to replace Cruz's home run out. But you are right. I mean, he's not historically a home run team. He's had a couple home run hitters in his lineup. But hasn't been like, you know, like a New York or a Montreal. So I do agree. Sorry if I was looking at it in a different point of view, but I do agree with what you're saying.
And then he had Jurgens, who was off to a great start, who ended up going 3-1 with a 1.13 ERA. And then the last two games against Quebec, he gives up 3 runs in 8 innings. So that's nothing to sneeze at, but for Jurgens and how he came off this year, yeah, that's a little bit of a speed bump. And then he takes a loss. Quebec wins that game 3-1. And then he loses. Cabo beats Kansas City 8-6. He takes the loss, going 7 innings, giving up 5 runs, 4 earned. So over those two games with Quebec and Cabo, his ERA ballooned from a 1.13 to a 2.11. So, Jurgens, which Jurgens is going to be the answer?
It's going to have to be the answer.
Now your question.
He has nothing else. Yeah. Well, I mean, he doesn't really have another option, right? I mean, he needs pitching.
No. Yeah, he's got Dar 3-0 with a 4.59 ERA. And you take those two pitchers, Jurgens lost his last two, so he's 3-2. He's pitched much better than 3-2. But the games where he's pitched well, he was very good. The games where he hasn't pitched well, which is only one, he didn't pitch well. So his ERA is still very good, but 3-2 is what he should be. He didn't pitch bad against Quebec. He pitched well enough to win, but he didn't pitch well enough to win. He pitched okay. And then you take a look at Dar, 3-0 with a 4.59. That's good. But he's only 3 games over 500, and that's all his starters. His starters are 12-6. So, you know, his bullpen is 3-6. That's not good.
Well, you can't have your team succeeding at every single category this early, especially with the flexibility of the stats. Now, I do have one quick question. Call it a troll, if you will. Kurt Hall, are you voting for him as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I'm not voting for anybody for a first ballot anymore. That's the way this league wants to go. That's fine.
I mean, let's see.
Nobody gets
Kurt
a first
ballot.
Nobody gets a first ballot vote anymore. Because all of a sudden,
Gary,
their stats pick up whether they do or they don't. I mean, you know,
Gary,
you're retired now
you
3 years. And all of a sudden, 3 years, they've compiled no more stats. But in the fourth year, after their first ballot, all of a sudden, now they become a Hall of Famer.
Let me ask you a question, Gary. And this is,
I'm just complaining.
Yes. As far as first ballot Hall of Fame goes, I look at it as this just happens to be the first year they're eligible to be voted in. I mean, that's how I've always looked at it. Cause we have a 3 year period, but Kurt Hall, I mean, he may be, when he retires, the single greatest offensive player the league has seen. Just saying, I'm just looking at his stats. It's pretty, but I mean, I'm not voting him first ballot. There's no fucking way he's getting on the ballot for me.
I don't know. Here's the problem with Kurt Hall. And it's not so much a problem on what he's able to do and what he can do. He's played a lot of games, but he's played a very demanding position at catcher. If he played any place else and he was less dinged up, his stats might be even better than what they are. But now when
they're
you take
amazing.
A look at his stats, when you look at his stats, when you look at his stats and you compare it to him being a catcher and what he's had to put up with, the stats are pretty good. He's not going to get the 3,000 hits. He's a 2158 current. 352 homers, 1,250 RBIs, almost 1,200 runs scored. The guy is a Hall of Famer. Absolutely.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He has made 10 All-Star games in 13 seasons. First season can't count because he came up like midway at 24. I mean, so basically he's made 10 out of 11 or 10 out of 12 All-Star games. He's been... For those of you who have kept track or just collect a glance, even though they're not, you know, official, I kind of made a point with Cohen, been on the top list for 11 seasons, you know, 10, 9 of those. Like, just I like looking at that because it kind of gives you a historical perspective. I mean, he's up there again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a top 10 player for fucking 13 seasons.
In those 13 years, he's got 4 silver sluggers, so he was the best hitting catcher at his position. He's won a gold glove. The guy's put together quite the resume. So,
I mean, not a first ballot resume, but yeah, not a first ballot resume, but clearly a resume.
Clearly not. But I don't think he's going to be the best hitter we've ever seen, only because of the position
he
plays.
When
he retires? Yeah, he's 37. How much more does he got? Let's see.
But I'm
well,
saying
let's
when
look
he
at
retires,
this way. How many more years is he paying him? He's under a team option next year of 11.5, and Irvin will pick that up. That makes him 38, and I'm not sure if he's looking to extend them or not. So he can start contract negotiations now, Irvin, if he wants
Irvin
to.
Irvin ain't ready. He ain't ever going to play for another team. Irvin will play. He'll pay him just so he can say he only played with him. Come on. You know Irvin.
Correct. He's got a couple of guys like that.
Which is
fine. I think Winters is another one.
Winters, he also has some guy named Ollie North. He's been decent over his career.
Right.
Like, we're looking for something here real quick. See if I can load it up before we got like 2 minutes left.
See, Matt Winters, if he continues on the pace he's at, Matt Winters has a shot at 3,000 hits. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight seasons of 200 hits or more. And the season he missed was his second season. He played 150 games and only had 191 hits. He just missed that year. If he continues and puts up 2 more years like this, he'll be 36 with 3,600 hits. He's got to get
100
hits a year for the next 4 years, and he'll become the first 3,000 hit man.
Check this out. Oliver North, by the end of the season. Okay,
by the way,
so 40 Steve
seconds.
Is,
got 40 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, Steve Friend sits at 74.4 WAR. Oliver North sits at 74.3 WAR. Oliver North this year, this season, next week, will pass Steve Friend for the most WAR in the history of the ABL. Kurt Hall is second at 67. Matt Winters is sixth at 54. So he has 3 of the top 6 guys, all of which he drafted in the top WAR of all time. Now, granted, not taking anything away from
Irvin. You got about 10 seconds. You got about 10 seconds. Take us home.
All right. I'm just kidding.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Everybody, have a great day and a good night.
Good night. God bless America, everybody.